Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
I feel like we've had this conversation many times, and not just this season in regards to the Green Bay Packers. But for a while, their run defense has been a deficiency. And the thought was, this year, if you looked at the numbers, it had gotten better. That was if you looked at the numbers. I would argue this was one of the instances, Gabe, where the eye test and the numbers didn't necessarily match as cleanly as they do in some other statistical categories.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out all year, because the Packers going into the Ravens game were top 10 in both rushing yards, and not just that, but yards per attempt. So it's not like, oh, teams just aren't running the ball a ton. They're still having success. They're just not running it a ton. No, they were, again, still in yards per attempt. They were a top 10 team. But then the way teams would try to attack them. You think of the Carolina game. The way things went in the first half the last time they played Minnesota. The way that the Giants tried to attack them. Teams wanted to run the football. The Bears ran the ball pretty well the first time and inexplicably threw the ball more the second time around. But teams, part of beating the Packers, hey, run the ball against the green and gold. They weren't giving up explosive runs. I think that was a big part of it. But they were giving up seemingly 4, 5, 6 yards a chunk. And teams are just staying ahead of the sticks, and then Derrick Henry did what he did, and now they're outside. They're 15th in yards, 12th in yards per attempt. But this was something teams had been trying to do against the Packers all season long.
So Mina Kimes was talking about the Green Bay Packers earlier this week. Take a listen to what she had to say about how teams should attack offensively against the green and gold.
The Packers run defense, look, anytime you're averaging over 5 yards per carry running into stacked boxes, that's a team-wide failure, and that's exactly what it looked like on tape. Defensive line just getting pushed around over and over by the Ravens offensive linemen, the linebackers getting pushed around by the Ravens tight ends, and then the corners, the Packers corners missing tackle after tackle. That really jumped out. If I'm someone playing the Packers in the postseason, assuming, you know, if they're the 7th seed or whatever, I watch this tape and I think, I'd throw the ball.
So, Chew, as we talk about who the Packers will face in the opening round of the playoffs, we know it will be either the Eagles or the Bears. Those are two teams that can, they don't always do it, but they can run the ball effectively. How concerned are you that the blueprint is out there, the game plan is out there to beat the green and gold?
Oh, it's out there. And I think, you know, it falls more on Halfley. We talked about, you know, in the middle of the season, how LaFleur really needs to just cut Jordan Love loose. And he did it in a few games. He did it against Detroit, and he did it against Pittsburgh. I think now it's on the other side of the ball. Halfley, you can't sit back, I'm sorry, in cover two. You just can't sit back there, or you're going to get torched. And Chicago can run the ball. They can run the ball. And you look at time of possession. I mean, this last game, I think the Packers had 44 plays to Baltimore's 77 or something, and the time of possession was so out of whack. Yeah, Halfley now has to want to be, hey, you got to figure this out. And it ain't cover two. You got to bring people up into the box. It's almost against Chicago. I'm going into that game saying, well, you ain't running for 150 or 180 against us. You got to let Caleb Williams beat you. And if it happens, it happens. But you just can't sit back there and just continue to be a punching bag for other teams' offenses.
The Bears averaged 5.8 yards per carry against the Packers in Week 16. Again, that matchup not yet decided, Gabe. But both of those teams have the capability to run all over. And I know that they talked about how the fits were bad and guys were off on assignments and whatnot. Does this week, this game against the Vikings, give you anything where you could say you have to go out there and show us that you can defend the run? Or is it, again, as you mentioned earlier, sort of a moot point Week 18?
Depends upon who plays, right? If you don't have, let's say, Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper don't play. I know those aren't the guys up front, but they're still a huge part of your run defense. If they're not playing, or if, you know, depending upon who on the defensive end side. I know we talked about earlier with Jason. He was hoping Rashawn Gary play because he thinks that J.J. Ngabare is more valuable than Rashawn Gary at this point. If you're resting significant guys in your front seven, whatever they do against the run this week doesn't really matter.
You think they rest Van Ness?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, because, again, you can only do it with so many players, Chew, right? With 48
but if you're
going
to lay – I mean, I hate to say it. I don't want anyone to get hurt, but out of those three, if someone had to go down, I'd want it to be Gary. Let him play the whole damn game.
Well, that's again, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know who they rest on that side because it seems like the majority of guys that for sure are going to be resting are on the offensive side. Even if Jordan somehow is active for the game, I just assumed he would have been inactive, but there's a possibility he's the backup. But Minnesota can run the football. They've got two talented backs, but unless you're starting the seven guys in that front that you're going to be starting against either Philadelphia or Chicago, then yeah, whatever happens on Sunday doesn't matter. So then if we have been saying that we would rather go into Chicago, that we think the Packers have a better chance of going into Chicago and winning that game because, well, they dominated the Bears for 58 minutes last time they were in Chicago, which wasn't that long ago. The Eagles are a significantly worse running team. I understand they got the name brand and Saquon Barkley. They stink at running the football this year. Their offensive line isn't nearly as good as it was a year ago. Is it better if they go to Philly?
No. PTSD.
And there's no PTSD at Soldier?
I think they believe that they can beat. I don't know. It's like when we played Dallas all those years. We just couldn't.
Yeah, but Chewy, like, Dallas
was
a dynasty.
No, I know they were good. I know
they were, Dallas was a dynasty. They're the team of the 90s, man. Like, the Eagles aren't the team of the 2010 or the 2020s.
But you do have mental blocks. It's weird, you know? I mean, and you know what? And we, I don't even remember San Fran, but when we beat them there, it's almost like we own, you know how you own teams? Like, Tampa Bay, back in the day, had an unbelievable defense. They were in the top five. Their offense was meh, and they were still good. They were a playoff team, but we owned it. When you own a team, you own them. It's kind of been like San Fran as of late, you know, after we were done that era, you know, when the Colin Kaepernick torching them for whatever, 200 yards or that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have mental blocks.
The Eagles are 18th in rushing yards per game, 24th in rushing yards per carry, to Gabe's point about how they have been this season. And I will say this, with both of these teams, whether it's the Bears or the Eagles, you also have a quarterback who can run the ball, right? You got guys who are going to scramble. You got Jalen Hurts and you got Caleb Williams, guys who can absolutely pick up first downs with their legs, Gabe.
Jalen, for whatever reason, hasn't been running, though. I don't understand it. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Well, just like Saquon hasn't been running.
Yeah, but you would think that as a scrambling quarterback, you drop back, oh, it's not there, I'll take it. Like, he just hasn't been doing it.
Because his pants are too high. If you look at him, he hikes them up way too much. You know how old people hike them up? I mean, look at his pants sometimes, how high those things are. I'm like, it's got to be restrictive. If there's a difference between this year and last year, he's wearing his pants way too high. I'm just saying.
Of all the things that I thought we were going to dive into on our first show of 2026, I'm still glad you got your fastball, big guy.
Will you agree with me, though, Gabe?
I have not even thought about it. I have never thought about, hey, Jalen Hurts' pants are too high. Trust me, am I going to pay attention now when the Eagles play this weekend? Jalen's not going to play. So in the wild card round, when the Eagles are playing, am I going to look to see if his pants are too high? Yeah, it's something I'm going to pay attention to now because the big guy called attention to it.
But I don't understand what impact that would have on his play. You're saying
it's
he can't
restrictive.
Run the ball?
It's too restrictive, yeah. You know? My kids rip on me all the time for pulling my shorts up too high. Can't pull the
I suppose it is true
up.
When I wear my Spanx under my dresses. It does restrict things. You don't
it
have
is
the
very
same
restricted.
Range
the freedom of
motion.
Movement.
You don't have
yeah.
the same range
yeah.
of motion as you do when you're not wearing the Spanx. So maybe there is something to that. I don't know.
It's wearing his pants too high.
Again.
You're going to watch and go, you know
I
what?
I am.
Chew was right. Will the Thrill agrees with me, right, Will?
I agree, too. It's probably his lower body's a little more exposed, too. You know, more vulnerable to injury.
Yeah. I mean, it's this isn't boxing, you know, where you hike them up because you don't want to get hit below the belt, right? Do you agree boxers wear their pants high for a reason, though? God, the little intricacies.
that only you notice?
Yeah. I guarantee there's people on the text line that agree with me.
Not a single one.
Give it time. Give it time.
I will say this, guys. A lot of people are weighing in saying that the season is over. Freddie says the season's over 100%. There are folks who are saying, we can't pass rush. We can't stop the run. We have a terrible secondary. Our backup quarterback is better than our starter. Our running back is banged up. Do we really think we have a chance of winning another game this year? That from the RB catcher 32.
The backup's not better than the starter. And
but besides that?
I discount. If you think that Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love, like I don't know how much I can trust you.
You're saying you lose all credibility with the
Correct.
Other stuff. But there is something to be said for some of those other things. The pass rush, stopping the run, we just talked about that. The secondary, they went out and got Diggs because they know that that secondary is suspect.
Well, no, they went out and got Diggs because they just need bodies. Because Bo Melton, who I guess is back to being a wide receiver, went back to being a corner and was in line to be cornerback 3.
I'm very concerned on the Diggs thing, guys, that they are just, they're following desperate. Micah Parsons. Well, they are desperate. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. But Micah Parsons is sort of endorsing Diggs, and they're sort of entertaining this thing by Micah Parsons that a change of scenery is all Diggs needs, and that he can go out and show them that he can be a contributor. I'm not sitting here getting my hopes up that he's going to be a top contributor or that he's going to be a difference maker on the field, but I'm a little concerned that they're investing a little too much in what Micah Parsons has to say about Diggs, and that's part of the reason why he's a member of the Green and Gold.
Well, again, he is a former All-Pro, and they needed bodies. Like, if they weren't so beat up at that position, like, if they didn't have to place Kamal Haddon and Nate Hobbs on IR, thus moving Bo Melton back to cornerback 3, I don't think they'd pick up Diggs. Like, they needed to, and do I think they hey, Micah, what do you, you know, what can you tell us about Diggs before they put the claim? I hope they did, because he's somebody that can give insight, but also their defensive backs coach is somebody who coached Diggs in college. Like, there's more connections to Diggs than just Parsons, but also it's not like they had to do anything. Okay, $500,000. In the NFL, that's nothing.
No.
Right? Like, they went to the recliner, shook out a couple extra bucks, and now they can pay him. They don't owe anything past this season. They're not going to be paying him $15.5 million next year. Like, if he's a Packer, it's going to be on a restructured, very team-friendly deal.
This feels like the linebacker they brought in from the Giants during training camp.
Yeah.
He was an early-round pick.
Yeah, Isaiah Simmons.
Isaiah Simmons, you know. Oh, he looks good. Then they cut him.
Yep.
That's what this feels like to me.
Reaction rolling in. C-Wan agrees with Gabe. The Diggs thing is more about needing live bodies, nothing more. Can't possibly be worse than the guys that we're throwing out there now.
Well, you say that. Statistically speaking, there has been somebody worse than the Packers corners. And it's Trayvon Diggs.
Okay, tune in to Gabe's pregame show Sunday.
Just saying.
9:00.
Again, this is why the hopes are not very high. Like, there's a reason why he was getting cut. Like, if he pulled what he pulled, but he was still an All-Pro, you think the Cowboys are cutting him? Or are they just going to suspend him for the last week of the season? I guess he's still going to be a member of the Cowboys.
See, what's frustrating me is at this point in the year, people should be excited about a playoff run. People should be excited about what lies ahead. And we keep telling everybody at every juncture, for every conversation, you should probably temper your expectations. You should probably lower your expectations, whether it's Trayvon Diggs, whether it's the Packers playing Week 18 against the Vikings, and whether it's a deep playoff run because of the injuries that this team has sustained. We keep banging the same drum, which is, you should probably temper your expectations.
Well, I think we're going to have a different, again, especially if they're playing the Bears. I think the Packers probably going to be a point and a half. It's not like the Bears are a massive favorite. It's going to be a point and point and a half either way, right? Like the game against the Bears can go either way. Like, they played without Micah and dominated down in Chicago for the majority of that game. So I feel like there should be excitement. Now, again, it's going to get tough, I think, beyond that, because then you're going to have to play San Francisco or Seattle. And have to go on the road and play, you know, one of the better offenses or one of the better complete teams. But you take that one step at a time. I think they match up well. You talk about matchups, Chu.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe the Bears can run the ball, but the Bears also can't stop anybody.
So to go back, Chu, to what we started this conversation on, which is Mina Kimes saying, if you're an opponent for the Green Bay Packers, why the heck wouldn't you just run the ball and run it often? How do the Packers respond to that? Can they, with the cast of characters they currently have, actually stop the run, or is this just a foregone conclusion?
Well, it's not going to happen if they match man for man in the box. you got to have an advantage in the box. And then, yeah, you can stop the run. But if it's man-on-man, no, I don't think they can do it. But I wanted to ask you guys, Gabe, you said 1.5 if they go to Chicago, right?
Yes. That'll probably be a run there, yeah.
Uh-huh. What's it at if they go to Philly?
3.5
Bigger, huh?
Yeah.
Because of their D?
Yeah, because the Eagles have an elite aspect of their team, and that's their defense. There's not an elite aspect of the Chicago Bears team.
No, except their coach.
Sure, which doesn't really factor too much into the lines from time to time.
Yeah.
We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on after this. We do have Craig Karmazin coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stick around.
Make plans to kick off 2026 with a stop at Bunzl's at 90th and Burleigh right here in Milwaukee. Find fresh, all-natural USDA Prime and Choice Angus steaks, porterhouse, T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and sirloins. Grab fresh, all-natural bacon, wrap tenderloin fillets, each fillet around 8 ounces and is $10.99 each. Find ribs at Bunzl's. Pork baby back, country style spare ribs, and beef short ribs. I have been going to Bunzl ever since I heard about Bunzl's and moved to Milwaukee. It is the only place I love going for all those cuts of meat. So stop in at Bunzl's, 90th and Burleigh. You will not regret it. Find all their weekly specials, including the monthly meat deal, at Bunzl's.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Can you feel it? The thrill of witnessing a walk-off grand slam, a game-winning touchdown, a buzzer-beating three, you know the feeling. And there's only one place to experience that raw exhilaration, and it's the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Catch all the action in a supreme space, dozens of sports betting kiosks, cool drinks, luxe seating, great food, fiery atmosphere, and a monster video wall. Become a legend at Potawatomi Sportsbook. More information, of course, available online. You must be 21 years old to enter the casino. All right, we got a little bit of time to kill before we get to Craig Karmazin, so I want to pose a question to you guys. I saw this on Instagram earlier this week. I've been fascinated by it ever since. Here's the situation. Everybody listen up. You get $100 million instantly, tax-free, all legal, just one catch. Every day for 5 years at a time you choose, say 3 p.m., you get teleported to a random part of the ocean for 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds, then you're back where you were, dry, alive, if you survived. No gear, no swimwear, or I'm sorry, you get to wear swimwear, you can't be naked. It's not naked, I'm afraid. Just swimwear. You'll get a thermal suit if the water is freezing, so you're basically wearing your swimsuit. That's it. No life vests, no floaties, just the seawater. One day it might be a tropical coral reef. The next, open ocean with something circling beneath you. You get 50 skip days total, but you have to use them wisely. You can't change your mind once you opt into this. 5 years, every day, 30 seconds, teleported to some random part of the ocean, $100 million. Are you in?
Do you get to choose what part of the ocean you go to?
You do not. It is random.
30 seconds?
30 seconds.
It's a long time, Chew.
It's not longer, a long time.
It's longer
no,
than...
It
sit here.
Not.
If we sit here in silence for 30 seconds, you wouldn't be able to do it.
So just so you know, when this exercise popped across my Instagram feed, I had my girls who were in the car with me. I read it to them. I thought it was, you know, yeah, conversation starter. And I said, hold your breath for 30 seconds. And they both did it. They're 6 and 7. You can hold your breath for 30 seconds.
Cool. When you're inside of a shark... Doesn't matter if you can hold your breath, Jen.
You immediately get transported back, though.
Not if you're dead.
The shark's not going to instantly attack you
so
either.
So again, this is
But again, it depends upon where you're getting dropped.
Well, let me just say this, okay? Because we have this conversation down here all the time. 12 years ago, a guy who lives across the channel from me, I didn't know him, angry knew him, decided to go swimming in the channel during mullet season.
I'm guessing that means something other than dudes with, you know,
yes,
business
mullet
in the front,
season.
Party in the
it's
back.
It's a fish that swims in school. Went in there for a swim during mullet season and didn't come out because he got eaten by a bull shark.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Sorry. All right.
So Can I negotiate this thing down or no?
No, I don't think so. I think the terms are the terms, man. It's 5 years, 30
how about
seconds
a little
every day. You get
50
skips, though. And I would use every single one of those 50 skips, obviously, right? You use 10 a year or something like that. But I think you could do it. I think you get dropped in. You start counting down from 30. If there's a shark pursuing you, you swim like hell. You deep dive. You do something. I don't know. You try to evade a shark. 30 seconds
how
goes by so fast.
How fast do you think you are compared to a shark?
I mean, I know I'm not as fast as a shark, but here's the thing. I don't think that you are going to get dropped into sharks all that often.
I think you'd have to try to have something bad happen to you in 30 seconds in the ocean.
I don't exactly. I think you're going to be fine.
You would have to effort to
but it's
have something
five,
bad
so
happen
you
fi- to you.
Over the course of 5 years, and you only get 50 skips? That's so many situations that you don't know
but
what you're dropping yourself
seconds.
Into.
Seconds. You can do yeah. anything for 30 seconds.
You know
seconds.
How many you know how many things are in the ocean that are just waiting to kill
only
you?
Only way down at the bottom. You're at the surface.
Oh, because sharks are only swimming at the bottom.
Sharks
I'm sure
are the only
I'm sure
thing.
Chewie's guy was swimming down in the depths of the ocean
I
before he got
eaten by a bull
shark.
I also don't know if sharks are prone to attacking. I think that sharks are just going about their business, and if you happen to be, you know,
dropped in from nowhere?
Again, what are the odds of that,
it's
though?
$100 million, too.
$100 million.
That's a lot of money.
I think I could do it. Now, I also think that I could land a plane, so you should take that into account when you're assessing my viewpoint.
I don't think you have a proper
seconds.
Respect for the ocean. I think,
I think I do, but I think I have a proper respect for the depths of the ocean, not the surface of the ocean. I can tread water.
Well, are you getting dropped in the surface, or are you getting
yes,
dropped,
dropped in the surface?
Okay.
The surface of the ocean. And you have to just, so tread water or swim or hold your breath for 30 seconds and then poof, you're magically transported back to where you were. Dry.
Would you do it if every time you had just to put a little cut in your calf so you'd bleed?
No, I would not do it then. I also, you know what I would do? I'd probably use those skips for when I'm on my period. Just I know that's not something y'all are thinking about.
Oh, so now you are scared of sharks.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be chum in the water. I know how that works. Would you do it? Chew, are you in?
30 seconds? Yeah, I would do it. Because a shark's going to check out what the hell you are
for
first.
For sure. Swim around,
yeah.
Sniff a little.
And for a guy that used his friend as bait because there were sharks in the area and he never got it, yeah, 30 seconds. I'm good. I'd do it.
Yeah, over the course of 5 years.
First of all, it'd be exhausting, right? Like every, mm-hmm. And again, you would start to dread that time because it's the same time every day. Let's say you pick 7 a.m., right? You would start to dread. And you would have anxiety.
Heaven forbid
you
sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, just there. Snoozing and all of a sudden. Whoa,
I do give Gabe credit,
Pacific?
Though. Because what's like the crazy stat where it's like 75% of the species in the ocean are undiscovered or something
yeah,
like that? Like we don't know about.
Down on the bottom. I don't
Gabe is right, though. People forget how scary the ocean is.
The ocean.
Yeah,
people,
it is.
People don't respect the ocean enough.
30 seconds, though, man.
Because there's, what are they, manta rays?
And
yeah,
every
look up,
day, just think about it. If you're swimming every day, even if it's for 30 seconds, you're going to get better at swimming. You're going to get stronger at swimming. By the end of those 5 years.
Sure. The 30 seconds a day is going to make you a much better swimmer than everything else around you that's in the ocean
maybe
every
start
day.
Swimming more than just the 30 seconds. I don't know. If I knew I was getting dropped in the ocean, I'd be out at the Y pool practicing my laps.
Mm, yes, because the lap pool, very similar to when the waves are crashing down upon you.
800-990-3776. The reaction to this question is, as I expected, fast and furious on the Carbless Talking text line and on the YouTube stream.
I would do it.
I would do it as well.
Yeah.
100%.
I like
the last thing
much.
You want to do, Jen, when you're in there is make a lot of movement.
Well,
you don't.
Yeah.
You want to be as
you don't
want
to draw attention to yourself.
Exactly.
Yes. But if you need to swim, start swimming. Treading water, yeah. Hold your breath for 30 seconds. Even if you start to sink down from the surface, after the 30 seconds expires, poof, you're back wherever you were.
Like, there are more things in the ocean that can also just hurt you other than sharks. Like, you're not coming out of this thing unscathed.
No, you're probably getting stung by a jellyfish.
At the minimum.
I wonder if the injury would carry over to the once you snap back into reality.
I mean, I would think it would have to. Otherwise, yeah. What's the risk?
I'd guess so.
Like, whatever happens to you there.
Jellyfish
sting,
100 million.
Yeah, but worst case, Gabe, worst case, all right, you'll lose half a leg. Right.
That's what I said to Dario. I'll go buy one. I'll buy a prosthetic.
Yeah.
Kind of like my leg.
I think 30 seconds. All right.
You kind of like my leg.
Do you like $100 million?
I like living.
Would you give up your leg for $100 million? We've got Craig Karmazin. He's coming in studio with us right after this. Stick around.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI, Chewy, hold can just on. Bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Man, I really appreciate the people who are having fun with us on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776, and on the YouTube stream. Brody tweets in, friends be like, why do you always scream in the pool? Well, yeah, because you'd be having post-traumatic stress. Craig Karmazin joining us now. We posed the question to him during the break, and Craig, your response was?
Of course you do that. That is a no-brainer. That is the easiest, like, that's not even a challenge. I don't get it.
Gabe is out. He likes his legs.
You don't have proper respect for the ocean, and that's okay.
No, you don't have proper respect for how big the ocean is.
Yes, I do. And there are so many things in there that we don't know about that are ready to kill you.
No.
I said,
in 30 seconds and in the entire, like if you take the entire mass of volume of what's there, it's empty. 1,500 times is like nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
So you think it's just like getting dropped in the deep end of the pool?
Yes. 30 seconds, except it's like salt water, so you float. It's easier than the pool.
Yeah, but Craig, would you do it with a cut in your calf?
The blood.
Yes.
Really? Just skip.
Sharks are not that close, and most sharks don't want humans. Sharks are our friends. More people get killed each year in this country by vending machines than killed by sharks.
Well, yeah, like hippo's one of the more dangerous animals out there, but we're not ready for that conversation either.
Like a crocodile or alligator, whichever, like those I get are kind of scary. But I mean, the sharks, no, come on.
But there are more things. Stingrays,
30
jellyfish.
Seconds.
I've swam with stingrays before. They're quite
jellyfish
pleasant.
Suck. Yeah. But for $100 million and 30 seconds,
no, hold
if you're
on,
saying
Craig.
20 minutes each time, then
it's a lot easier to elude an alligator than a shark. I can tell you that.
Oh, he's saying elude, not elude.
No.
Yes.
But 30 seconds,
no, I
feel like you just stay still and you're good.
And again, I even said, hold your breath. If you start to drop, the ocean's so big, you're dropping what? Again, I don't know the speed at which you drop in the ocean, but the point is, as soon as that 30 seconds is up, as long as you're still alive, you get transported back
to
where
this?
You were.
That one, I think, is a no-brainer, and that one's not worth it. I'm saying, how about 5 years, every day, no skips, you get dropped in prehistoric times.
Oh.
Dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs. Now again,
30 seconds.
Don't know how many dinosaurs. A lot of them are not human. Are plant eaters, but we don't know on some of these.
Well,
right?
But that's the problem. The one thing I've learned about dinosaurs and having nieces and nephews that are into dinosaurs, like dinosaur lore has changed so much from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like some of the dinosaurs that I thought were dinosaurs aren't actually dinosaurs, and they're like, well, no, actually, here's what it.
Right.
Like, so
it's
what
changed.
I've learned is nobody actually knows anything about dinosaurs.
That's why I'm saying there's risk in this.
Yeah.
I mean, raptors are real scary, right?
Yeah.
Because like,
they're
fast and they're little. And they
I think some of those flying ones.
Pterodactyl with the wingspan? You kidding me?
Yeah, those flying ones who might just come in and shred. Like, people are afraid of birds. Like, imagine what those things might be.
Ugh.
I would rather do the ocean than the dinosaurs.
Are you still doing it for $100 million? You doing the dinosaur one?
I got
even just to said you've been there?
Well, that's an interesting point.
I mean, that's great once or twice, but when you're on like number 482 and you're like running from a raptor.
Yeah, you got to make sure you stretch like every day before you have to do it. You don't want to be pulling a hammy while you're trying to outrun the Stegosaurus.
Scotty Barnes is about to tear you to shreds.
Not those Raptors. Craig, is the Packers season over?
No, Chewie's so dumb. It's like the championship or bust dumbness of his life.
Do you agree with me with Jalen Hurts, though, Craig?
I don't know what you said about Jalen Hurts.
I said the reason he's not running the ball real well this year is because his pants are way too high. You see him pull his pants up?
No, I got to. I have to
check
look
it
at
out.
Okay,
I said the same thing. Had never thought about this, but now I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, we'll check that out. That is interesting.
All right, no, so Chewy, why isn't it over? Yeah,
they pretty much have played the Bears equally. Slash been the better team over the two games, right? If you had to pick who's been the better team over two games, who would you say it was?
Without their top two receivers, yeah, I would say Green Bay.
Yeah. And so they can definitely – there's a scenario where they can beat the Bears. And then
– of course.
Right. So if you beat the Bears, anyone who's going to tell me there's not a scenario where you could beat Sam Darnold and beat him, the guy who leads the NFL in turnovers – like, don't tell me there's not a scenario where even this Packers team, no Micah Parsons, whatever, couldn't beat Seattle. And so to me, if there's a really plausible scenario, first of all, if you're going to the playoffs, your season's over, not over. And second of all, if there's a really likely plausible scenario where you're going to the NFC Championship, Chewy, don't tell me the season's over. That's nonsense.
Wait, so you're rooting for Seattle over San Fran tomorrow night?
Oh, I mean, if you're a Packers fan, you are. Absolutely. Yeah, because there's reseeding, right? So if you know you're going to have the lowest seed,
yeah,
of course you want the worst possible team, which I think the Niners' defense is all banged up and not that good, but I still trust San Francisco more than I trust Seattle coming into this postseason. If you've watched Seattle play the last few weeks, they're very uneven. And if you cover JSN, there's not that much else going on.
That's a big if.
It's a big if, but teams have done it. Seattle looks kind of, yeah. I mean, really ordinary to me a lot of the time.
Well, and I said that earlier, Craig. I said just about the NFC as a whole. There's no one juggernaut team where you're going, oh, they are the class of the NFC.
Right,
everybody has flaws, and obviously the Packers have flaws, and a lot of their flaws have to do with the injuries that they have sustained, and you don't want to be the walking wounded at this point of the season. However, because these other teams are not perfect and there are ways that you can exploit them, I do feel more confident than some of these other folks do.
Right. Like the Rams are still who I think people are holding on to as the best team, who, you know, we just saw what they did. I know they probably weren't totally prepared for Monday Night Football. It took them a half to get into it. But I still believe in the Rams more than anyone else. But, I mean, again, nobody's unbeatable. I'm with you, Jen. Like, and in the AFC... the Patriots, like, they've beaten one team over 500 in the entire season. The Broncos looked really good. I agree with that. But, again, the Broncos...
Well, until they didn't, because they got shredded at home by Jacksonville.
Oh, no, I was saying against the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
But still, like, that game was... I mean, there's nobody in the NFL, Chewy, who's good enough for me to say it's over.
They've lost their last three games, Craig. Probably going to lose their fourth. There's no momentum. There's no belief. There's no nothing. All right. Okay, I agree that it's not over. I am certainly not betting on them to go any farther after this next game. But let me ask
you this. Okay, how about this, Chewy? If you could bet $1 and you would get $5,
yep,
for them to go to the NFC Championship.
Oh, God, no chance.
I mean, that's just two wins. That's beating, let's call it the Bears and the Seahawks. One to win five?
No.
What about one to win 10?
Put it this way, Craig. I will say this. If you gave me... that same bet, and you could give me back Micah Parsons
and you have to be dropped
Love
into
and
a
Jordan Love would have to sit, and Jordan Love would have to sit, then I would take it.
Dude, I'm with you, and I love Jordan Love. Malik Willis, he's a real starting quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a real starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
And I know now, like, I'm probably overreacting like a lot of others. Like, I'm sure once people, like, did the Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, like, you know, where the second year was a lot harder. So there's preparation once people actually see you. But man, those throws downfield were so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where do you think he ends up?
I mean,
Dolphins. Who else?
No,
Jets.
I agree. They were great.
Throws. Raiders are going to draft a quarterback.
Raiders have the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
All right, Craig.
Yeah.
Now, my scenario, they lose into the season. Halfley takes the Giants job. What are you doing?
No, they lose. Halfley doesn't get the Giants job.
Yes, he does.
If you're in New York, you're going to be able to hire some guy who's like, well, lost five games in a row, whose defense has been...
That's the old
Kevin Cosgrove, University of Wisconsin thing. Like, if you look really bad, it's hard to get a job at the end of the year.
I don't know, man. Every list that I've seen though, has him atop, as far as coordinators go, as far as people who are coordinators for other teams, atop these lists in the coaching hires. I think he'll be able to use the excuse or explanation, however you want to look at it, of Micah Parsons going out for the year.
Well, the Giants don't have Micah Parsons, so...
No, but I'm saying, like, he'll say... Look at my body of work when I had Micah Parsons and what that defense was able to accomplish. And once Micah Parsons was out, it was too difficult for me to make up that production.
If someone says that in a meeting to me, oh, well, I couldn't do it because I didn't have Micah Parsons, I ain't hiring that person.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, are we going to get Micah Parsons? No.
But they already have a really good D-line.
For me, it's the Giants have a good D-line. Adjust and adapt in the middle of the season as opposed to having the weapon or having the tool.
So you don't want to hire a coach that can't adjust in the middle of the season?
No, I think that he can adjust. I mean, would you say that loss the other day and the way the defense played was more on the players or Jeff Hafley?
I think it's more on the players.
That's
but also,
what I think.
But some of it goes on Hafley if LaFleur's up there saying it was an alignment error by the players. Like, some of that's on Hafley.
Don't you think it was just they weren't ready to play? They knew they were in the playoffs. They sat Jordan Love. They just didn't try.
I think they made business decisions. And Chewy keeps bringing up that they did have an opportunity at the division with a win in that game because things hadn't been settled yet.
They
made business decisions when they saw Derrick Henry rumbling Jordan.
They didn't sit Jordan Love. He did not clear concussion protocol. There's a difference.
I feel like the second, the Vikings won, it's like, oh, Jordan Love's out.
I don't think that's what happened.
The concussion protocol.
I think the Packers would have preferred to win the division. And if that is what happened, then everybody should be fired.
That what?
That they went, oh, Vikings won. We got the 7 seed. Jordan can't play. If somebody within that organization the medical staff went to the Packers and went, oh, he's cleared concussion protocol. And they went,
I'm not saying he's cleared, and I'm not saying I'm just saying, like, the second that game ended, in my mind, there was no chance Jordan Love was playing.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable speculating about the integrity of the concussion
protocol. Yeah, I'm not saying it's about the concussion protocol. I'm saying
can of worms.
I'm saying maybe if they would have waited longer to test him again, to whatever, but, like, they knew they were good, and there was no reason to push
it. But they weren't good. They weren't good.
They were a quarterback.
Sure, but I would have preferred to have, the better guy out there.
Obviously, yeah.
I know, but looking back, you would if Love played, you would have taken Malik's numbers.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like Love would have done better than Malik.
To me, it's more about the mindset of, oh, we don't, it'd be the mindset going into that game, which is maybe why they weren't prepared, because there was still plenty to play for in that game.
Yeah, but I think it's a mindset, Gabe, of a... This, I'm telling you, I played with guys like, we got no chance. When do we get paid? One more check coming? Okay.
Oh, I don't think this team's too young and dumb to think that. They think they're the best team. They think they could beat anybody. I think if anything, Chewy, it's not, oh, we can't win. We're not good enough. It's like, this game doesn't matter. We're in the playoffs already. We're not going to be the one seed. We're not going to win the division. Like, Jen said it. Business decision against Derek.
Who's better, Gabe? Who's better? Whose defense is better, San Fran or Green Bay?
Oh, Green Bay.
No, you can't do that.
Yes. No, it is Green Bay.
No.
Chewy.
No.
Have you watched San Francisco?
Okay, here's
Phillip Rivers put up 50 against them.
Here's why, Chew. All right, so the Packers played the Bears 2 weeks ago. How many touchdowns did they give up in the first 58 minutes without Micah Parsons?
I don't remember.
It was zero. How many
touchdowns? But they didn't have their two top receivers. They're going to have their two top receivers.
Yeah, and the following week, they did not have their two top receivers against San Francisco. They put up 38 points. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying I think Chicago's offense is better than we're giving them credit for. I'm sorry.
Then
I know you don't like Caleb Williams.
Then give Packers defense some credit for holding them down for 58 minutes.
How many points they score, though, in that game? It was 28, right?
No, they scored 22.
That's close.
and what they scored 38 against the Niners? Yeah. The Niners' defense is terrible right now. Phillip Rivers, was unstoppable.
Well, and I was just going to tell you guys, just on Get Up Ahead of Us, they showed ESPN analytics for that game, as you mentioned, between the Seattle Seahawks and the 49ers, 50-50 right now. 50-50 for each team to get the number one seed, so essentially to win the game tomorrow night. So it's a coin flip. They're saying it's a coin flip according to ESPN analytics. We have to take a break. Craig, do you want to hang out for the last segment?
Maybe.
Are you growing a beard?
Sharks and dinosaurs?
No, I just need to shave.
Okay.
All right, Jen Gabichui rolls on after this, Gabe.
Join wrestling legend and us at GKW, Kevin Nash, January 31st at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel for an elevated viewing experience of my favorite event of the year. It's the Royal Rumble. So watch your favorite WWE superstars battle it out in the match of the year for a spot in main event of WrestleMania. We're going to be watching it in the annex of Pottawatomie Casino. For just $100 per person, you get this. 2 complimentary drink tickets, unlimited buffet access, photo and an autograph with that legend, Kevin Nash, $25 reward play or match play to your favorite games on Pottawatomie, and you get a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. No better way than to watch the Royal Rumble with us at GKW and wrestling legend Kevin Nash. Secure your spot by going to Pottawatomie's website.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Wrapping things up here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we have Craig Karmazin in here, and I want to ask you one question. I think Will posed this. How should the Packers be viewed headed into the playoffs? Here are his options. A dangerous underdog, an injured but competitive team, a team that got hot too early, the 7th seed that nobody fears.
Injured but competitive.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
And the last one.
It's not an and or situation.
Wait,
but
you think if the Bears are playing the Packers, the Bears are like, oh, we're way better than this team?
Well, I do think that because I think that Bears fans this year have like elevated their expectations.
I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about the players who knew that they had a 2.5% chance to win that game after having lost to them the first time.
Craig.
Like they're even with all these other teams, should we?
Craig, I don't think the Bears are thinking that. I think the Packers think they're a better team than they are.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
But I think you need some of that, right? And that's you need a little bit of that.
Yeah, 2026, the year of delusion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
It's every day here.
Check out Jalen Hurts' pants, please.
Well, he's not playing this weekend.
I like
too.
How at the end of like a show, people are up and like, check out my Instagram. Like, you know, buy
subscribe
my whatever.
Below.
Subscribe, like and subscribe, and check out Jalen Hurts' pants. Like, are you his tailor?
Will D and Tausch is coming up next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Westbound 94 at the Ram.